Vlodek is a professor of law at American University's Washington College of Law. He does teaching and research and has a lot of experience, and we love talking with Stephen about the Supreme Court. Stephen, how are you?
I'm good, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Congratulations. I understand you recently got married.
That's what I hear.
I didn't get a chance to warn you. My apologies for that. I wanted to get your take on the upcoming docket for the Supreme Court. And first and foremost, this is something you and I talked about a year and a half ago. You saw this coming, that the Supreme Court would have to hear the case about the health care law.
Yeah, and, you know, while since last we talked, the Supreme Court said it will indeed hear argument in these cases, probably, I would guess, sometime in March. It's actually going to take the unusual step of hearing about 4.5 hours of argument. You know, usually they hear about 1 hour of argument, which I think is a pretty good sign of just how big a deal the court thinks this case is. So, you know, one way or the other, I think we're going to have a decision on this by next June.
Is this as big a case as, say, Roe v. Wade is?
You know, it's always hard to say before the court decides it. I think it has the potential, depending on what the justices do, to be that big of a case. You know, I think if the Supreme Court ultimately strikes down the individual mandate, I think that would go up there with, you know, Roe versus Wade and other really, really famous and, for better or for worse, momentous decisions in the court's history. You know, if they end up going through all of this and say the bill is constitutional, I think it won't nearly be as big. I think it'll just be, you know, sort of more of the same. So it has the potential to be one of the biggest cases the court has decided, probably since Bush versus Gore in 2000. But, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what actually happens.
Is this case going to be decided along party lines? I'm not asking you to handicap it, but how do you see the judges looking at this?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's always tricky to try to handicap. I think it's safe to say, though, Tony, that, you know, probably 6 or 7 of the justices can be reliably expected to break on party lines here. So it wouldn't surprise me at all to see Justices Breyer and Ginsburg and Kagan and maybe even Sotomayor, you know, leaning towards supporting the constitutionality of the bill, to see Justices Thomas and, you know, Justice Alito leaning against it. I think the really interesting question isn't just Justice Kennedy, who, as you know, is so often the swing vote, but also Justice Scalia. Justice Scalia wrote a concurring opinion the last time an issue like this about Congress's power to regulate things of local concern as interstate commerce. In 2005, in a case called Raich versus Gonzalez, which is about medical marijuana, and Justice Scalia said he was totally okay with Congress's power to prohibit private citizens from cultivating their own marijuana plants on their own property. I think it's going to be really interesting to see if someone like Scalia has the same view here, even though it would be inconsistent with his politics. I think that's really going to be one of the things to watch for.
Any other cases that will have a huge impact on us?
Well, I think, you know, there are a couple. So the Supreme Court's actually about to decide whether to take a case from the University of Texas, which is challenging UT's affirmative action policy. About 8 years ago, the Supreme Court decided a case, as you know, from Michigan, about the University of Michigan undergrad and law school affirmative action policies. And the court struck down the undergrad policy but upheld the law school policy, even though it took race and other certain characteristics into consideration. That was when Justice O'Connor was still on the court. I think the question that's going to arise in this case, it's called Fisher versus Texas, is whether there are still 5 votes to support the constitutionality of race-based affirmative action in public schools. That's going to be a really big case to watch out for.
And before I let you go, what's the process? What's the differences in presenting a case toward the Supreme Court as opposed to another court? Is there more paperwork involved, more information for briefs? What's the differences?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Tony, the biggest difference isn't the brief so much as getting the court to take the case in the first place. You know, when you're in a lower appellate court like the Sixth Circuit out where you are in Michigan, you know, most appeals are as of right. And so, you know, there's a really large docket. All you're really trying to do is make sure the court's aware of what the big issues in your case are. You know, at the Supreme Court, really the biggest part of the work, if you're a lawyer, is convincing the justices to take your case in the first place. They only take about 75 a year, even though they're asked to review somewhere between 8,000 and 9,000. And so once you're actually through that hurdle, once the court grants certiorari, it actually looks a lot like any other appeal. It's just that first step that makes it so different.
Does it? What's it cost to go before the Supreme Court?
It really depends. You know, the briefing itself tends not to be that expensive. You know, the Supreme Court, like most courts, is moving toward electronic filing, which really cuts down on the cost. You know, it depends on whether the lawyer's working pro bono or not. If the lawyer's working pro bono, you could probably take a case to the Supreme Court for as little as maybe $3,000 or $4,000. You know, it's much harder if now you've got a paid case and you've got lawyers who are charging what lawyers are want to charge for their services. Then you're talking tens of thousands of dollars.
What does it mean for a lawyer's career to present a case before the Supreme Court?
Oh, it can make or break it. I mean, you know, here in Washington, there's a whole sort of special practice group devoted to the Supreme Court bar. And, you know, there are lots of folks who argue one or two cases in their careers, but there are also veterans who are there 20, 30, 40 times. And indeed, that's actually a really, really high profile way to get noticed. So our current Chief Justice, John Roberts, part of how he made a name for himself was as a veteran advocate before the Supreme Court. You know, I think there are a lot of folks who would love to follow in his footsteps.
Stephen Vladeck is a professor of law at American University's Washington College of Law. Stephen, thanks so much.
Anytime, Tony. Thank you.